It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with my buddy Kyle from LaGrange. How are you, man?
What's going on, Dave? How's it going?
I'm doing great here. I'm getting off work, talking to you guys. I'm enjoying you guys way better than I did work. But anyway, good to have a job, good to be employed, good to have a podcast and two brothers.
How is that attitude, Dave? I don't know.
I know. Bubba Rosenbaum, how are you, man?
Doing well. I hope you guys are having an excellent weekend. It's nice to finally get a victory last night against Campbell.
Yes, we have the post-game audio. We'll be playing that. Also, Bubba, we got a very special guest today, too, that's basketball-related.
Yeah, we do. Longtime Pirate fans, those that were around in the early 2000s following Pirate Hoops, will certainly remember Musa Badian. If they have not heard of him, they obviously hadn't been around then or just didn't follow the program, because Musa leads East Carolina in block shots and then still ranks second all-time in Conference USA. He had broke Kenyon Martin's record, and he was actually surpassed a few years after he left ECU by a guy at Tulsa. But Musa was a tremendous player and enjoyed catching up with him from France.
No doubt about it. An international guest. We've had a few on here, so we'll be talking to him later on, folks, so stay with us for that. But want to do our roundtable, guys. A lot of stuff happening over the weekend, including we'll be talking recruiting in just a little bit. But wanted to mention about while we have a chance, the Army-Navy game. I didn't get a chance. I'll admit I didn't get a chance to see it. But, Bubba, I know you did, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about it, because it's a very significant game and the last regular season game in college football.
Yeah, that's what Army – actually came in with a three-game win streak, and so Navy was looking to snap that skid, get their 10th win of the year, and they were able to do so. It was a little bit of a struggle early on. Army had a heck of a drive, 18 plays, nearly 80 yards for almost 11 minutes there in the first quarter, so Navy only touched the ball, I think it was one time. But then that was pretty much all she wrote for Army. They only had 75 yards of offense the rest of the way, and it was undoubtedly the Malcolm Perry show. He ran for over 300 yards in the game. One of the top, if not the top, rushing performances in the Army-Navy game. So a heck of a way to close the regular season for Ken Niumatalolo's ball club, and now they'll go on to Liberty Bowl to take on K-State.
Yeah, and it's always good to have an American team win. Army-Navy's a special game, and unless you happen to be a Army veteran like my stepdad, besides that, everybody that's an East Carolina fan or a fan of the American Conference, I'm sure was pulling for Navy. So congratulations to the Middies for getting the W. And like you said, Bubba, they get Kansas State and Liberty Bowl, so that's another big game for them. That would be a nice win for Navy and a nice win for the conference if they can get it. And will kid me a lot, though. Will kid me a lot, Matalolo be the head coach for that game?
We'll see.
Boston
That'll
College
be really interesting.
Reported to be courting Kid Miamatalolo. I don't know that I would leave Navy for BC, but you don't know what kind of money they're going to throw at him.
That's, yeah, being that maybe Power Five, I don't know.
And Kyle, sorry, Dave. While we're on the topic of Kid Miamatalolo and the potential of him considering that BC job, Kyle, do you recall here a few years ago, whatever it's been now, when BYU was pursuing Coach Ken? Do you remember what kind of money did they throw at him?
I don't remember, Bubba. It's a good question. I'm sure it was a little more than what the Academy pays him. I don't know what he makes at Navy. I'm not sure if they release that.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
But I'm sure BYU offered him a good contract. You know, I thought maybe he'd go. That's his alma mater. I believe his son was playing there. So, you know, who knows what's on somebody's mind. It could be that he likes the East Coast.
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd be interested to see. I wouldn't leave Navy for BC. I just wouldn't do it.
I think Navy's a bigger brand. I'm not trying to make fun of BC.
You're actually, Dave, you actually make a decent point. I mean, it's non-Power Five, so to speak. But, yeah, you could argue Navy's a bigger brand than a
national brand.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a They have a national fan base.
I don't know that he can win. Now, here's the thing. Here's the argument you can make for going to BC. You wonder if he can win any bigger at BC than he can Navy. The one thing you could probably argue is he could maybe, you know, have a good year where they make it to the ACC championship game and then pull off of a win. And
right.
Who knows, you know. But I doubt you would ever see BC running the triple option, make it to the playoffs. So the ceiling at BC is probably the same it is at Navy, and that would be to make it to like an Orange Bowl type thing.
Right. I mean, I think that what my point is, like you're saying, Kyle, is that when I look at, it's not that BC is like a bad job as far as like football. They have a great tradition, but I think as far as success, he can have more success at Navy than Boston College. That's just my gut feeling. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't see them. I don't see them offering something absurd like, you know, $4 million
right.
either.
Yeah, I mean he's a great coach, and you understand why people are going after him. But once again, he's such a good coach.
I also say this, guys: if he turns this down after he's turned out BYU, if he turns this down, he's probably going to spend his whole career at Navy until he's retired.
Yeah.
Or until he, you know, who knows, all of a sudden has a couple of bad seasons, you get a rogue AD and he gets fired. Because there's not going to be but so many opportunities for him to be a head coach somewhere else because of the offense he runs. BYU,
right.
He's an alum and he's a Mormon. BC, obviously, looking for a unique way to try to win. They're open to running the triple option. So
right.
If he doesn't take this job, he's probably going to be at Navy for a long time. And he already has been there a long time.
That's what I was going to say. He has, and he may love the what's not to love about the Naval Academy. Annapolis
yeah.
is supposed to be a beautiful town. I can't wait to – we got to get up there at some point, but that'll be great when we do. I know, Bubba, you've been there a couple times, but I think the town's great. The Naval Academy's awesome. Love the pageantry at the Service Academy. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but also it lets you know that he went 10-2 this year for them to come a call and having another great year. So we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. Let's talk about ECU recruiting. Big weekend, obviously. Wednesday is a huge day. We'll actually have coverage on Wednesday from the Murphy Center. We'll be recording interviews and doing a special podcast. Oh, by the way, Kyle, Wednesday night, we'll do a podcast. We'll get the interviews sometime Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. We'll have our coverage there. I know a lot of media will be there. It's National Signing Day. It's a huge day. And, Bubba, I know you've been following the recruiting this weekend. And so, and Kyle, you as well. Got a great one in the quarterback from Texas, like we talked about. Very excited about him. He already committed yesterday.
Yeah, we do. Ryan Stubblefield out of Richmond.
Yeah.
Out of Richmond, Texas. He's
a
small quarterback.
Like he's from Texas. Richmond.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be he's a guy that size-wise, at least in terms of his height, he's not as heavy as De'Aaron King at this point. He may get to that point, but he's a guy that's right there, 5'9", 5'10", has an extremely strong arm, very, very accurate. He moves very well, as you would expect, like De'Aaron King does. And he's a guy that I'm very excited that we're able to get a commitment from him. The coach and staff had seen him back in summer in camp, and so now he's the third quarterback commitment. So you have Mason Garcia, of course, out of Carolina Forest down in Myrtle Beach, and then you also have Taji Hudson out of Georgia. And now Ryan Stubblefield out of Richmond, Texas. So I would expect, and this is just my speculation. I certainly haven't heard anything concrete. Just the quarterbacks we have on campus, like with Brian Gag and also Flynn out of the Asheville area. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some movement. I know we also we had one of the walk-on quarterbacks, it seems like. I'm trying to remember which one here in the last few days transfer out.
Yeah, I read about that in my responses too. I speculated about Garcia the other day. From what I'm reading on HTC, it sounds like maybe the Tajay or your however you I don't
I think Walker. It's Taji. I think that's how Steve and I go pronounce
Taji,
it.
Okay. From what I've read on Hoist, it sounds like that he's been recruited kind of maybe as more of an athlete, that he may be open to moving to slot receiver.
Right.
So that could explain signing the third quarterback. Hopefully that's the case. Garcia is good to go.
Yeah, and Taji Hudson, he's a guy, like I said, out of Cedartown, Georgia, and he's listed on 24/7 as a dual threat, and he's 6'3", 185, so he's a guy that size-wise, I don't know so much. I haven't seen a ton of his film, but he's a guy just size-wise. Longtime Pirate fans remember Arnie Powell back in late 90s, early 2000s, and Arnie Powell was a high school quarterback, like 6'3", 6'4", at least, maybe even 6'5".
Arnie was from the Tidewater area, right? My memory says
he was from the Tidewater area.
I remember him.
Yeah. If Garcia qualifies, and then you got him with this kid from Texas, that's two hell of a quarterback to sign in one class. I mean, and hats off to this staff being able to flip this kid late. He had committed to Kent State, was going to be a Golden Flash, and nice job flipping him. And they're in a bowl game this year, so there's some appeal there. I know you people hear Kent State and they laugh. Hell, they're in a bowl. We ain't.
Well, also, Bubba, I had a question for both of y'all. Do you know what kind of – I just had a thought to come to mind earlier. I forgot to mention this to you guys before we started the show to ask. But does he run a certain – what type of offense does he run? Do you know?
The film that I saw, I'm trying to remember. I think it was film from this year. If not, it was a junior film. And he was operating out of the spread.
Yeah, most of the time. That's what everybody runs out, some sort of spread.
I was just wondering if you
– Go ahead.
But I was just wondering if you run any kind of option or anything to help us with Navy.
That could be more the kid from Georgia being a dual
threat. Yeah, one of them, yeah.
Bubba, what about the D lineman that visited this weekend and, could be big-time commits if we could get them?
Yeah, it really could be. A couple of JUCOs. You have Darius Shipp. He's out of, I want to say it's Northeast Mississippi Community College, but Darius is a guy that's currently committed to Western Kentucky, and so we're trying to flip him, and I think he's 6'2", 6'3", right around 275 or 80 pounds, and then we also had another defensive tackle, a guy who is originally from Durham out of Garden City, in Kansas, and that is Jordan Riley. And Jordan Riley, he recently visited Nebraska, but per Steve and I go on Hoist the Colors, that's what Jordan Riley had an excellent visit this weekend, as did Darius Shipp. And so hopefully those two guys will be making the decision to join the program here soon, because we do have some excellent high school products in this class, in terms of the defensive line. You have Romero, Jason Romero, out of Scotland County, I believe it is. Then you also have Javion McCray from West Brunswick, who plays for former Pirates walk-on quarterback Brett Hickman. And he's done an excellent job down there. But Javion McCray, I don't know if you guys saw this. There was a video of him windmill dunking a basketball the other day at 6'1", 290 pounds. It was pretty impressive, to say the least, the type of athleticism we're getting with him. We already have one JUCO on board, and that's Elijah Robinson out of Lewisburg. And then we had another defensive lineman, I believe, from the high school ranks, Dinwiddie, Virginia, and Deontay Johnson, 6'2", 265 pounds. And I believe he is someone that may have already had been recruiting him back from the JMU days.
Dinwiddie, Virginia. Now, is that Jeff Comfort's hometown?
Wow.
I figure it must
shots
be.
Fired. Shots fired.
Yeah, exactly. And also, talking about the D-lineman, don't forget the kid that was here. Had to get his academics right, going to be eligible to play for us freshwater. So,
he's actually a lineman.
Yeah, you got fresh water at
DN or outside back or wherever he plays. And then you have, of course, Mount Everett, Keziah Everett from Farmville Central.
Do you guys think he'll end up playing outside linebacker or defensive end? I kind of see him at end.
He's a beast. I tell you what, I love that fresh. Both those.
I was like you, Kyle. I thought he was probably at end.
So
both of those guys right there are, you know, when everybody's worried about being 4-8, those guys can come and start right now.
The one junior college kid, I'm terrible with names, as you guys know. The kid that visited Nebraska also. What's his name, Bubba?
Jordan Riley.
Yeah, he's highly recruited. Very, very talented kid. Believe was going to be a Tar Heel out of high school.
He played sparingly there.
You're right.
Yeah, because I know he had at least 4 or 5 tackles his first year with the Tar Heels, and for whatever reason chose to transfer.
Yeah, I went junior college. That'd be big. And the other kid from community college in Mississippi, that Western Kentucky commit.
Darius Shipp.
Western Kentucky plays good defense. That's how they went to a bowl game. Their offense wasn't very good. So they won by shutting a lot of people down. So that DC there knows what he's doing in terms of defensive talent. So if he wants that kid's good.
That just shows you, I mean, this recruiting class, you know, and then you have Montgomery's last recruiting class, and then that they were able to keep one of those guys for the most part. And then with this class, can you imagine? I want to mention this to you guys. I was thinking about this yesterday, being Saturday. That can you imagine with you take the likes of Holt, like I've said, Holton being a senior in 2 years, you have those guys that are freshmen now that'll be juniors, and then you've got 2 more classes behind them. ECU is going to be quite all right in football. I really believe, as I said along, it's going to be 2 more years, and just like with basketball, we'll be talking to Musa later, but it's dealing with people having patience. I know we've had a hard time with the
I think that's Tulsa game, Dave. That Tulsa game. People are putting too much into one football game.
Exactly.
And they're all, you know, I've seen so many people, you know, that game against UAB where we closed it out in 05, that really set the tone for the next year. And we finished 5-7. I've seen people make that comparison, and we were hoping for the same thing. Well, let me remind everybody, we started off 0-2 after that win over UAB to close out 05, Skip's first year. We started off 0-2. So how much does that one game translates into anything? Not much. It was just one game. We got a lot back on offense. We're going to have everybody back on offense, and we're going to add to it. So now you take everybody we got back, plus the kids that are coming in, plus the kids that were redshirted this year. Our offense is going to be nasty next year.
Exactly.
We got to develop a running game, but I think we'll do that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Defensively, we got to take a big step forward, and getting these junior college linebacker or defensive linemen would be huge.
I think you know that too, Kyle, that and Bubba, that they can actually. The reason we're going to get those guys going to be confident is because they're going to. You want to go where you can play, and there's a reason why you transferred. Maybe it's because of grades that you're in JUCO, but most likely. You transferred and you're in a JUCO because you were not happy. And the reason you're not happy is probably you felt like you didn't get the playing time you deserved. Well, if you're Mike Houston, and these kids know, I thought about this yesterday too, when Bubba, when you were playing, and maybe if you go back further with me, even though I didn't play, but my time as far as being in college goes, you really had to do your homework. It was really hard because you had to just kind of take a little bit of a leap of faith. Now, with social media and with the internet, these guys are well-versed. They know a coach. They know that coaching staff is great. And then on top of that, you take the coaching staff, that they are tremendous at recruiting.
With that said, for those two defensive linemen, they got other good offers too. Western Kentucky is a good program, and so is Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
So they got some decisions to make. The kid from North Carolina, Nebraska could be a mixed bag. He could go there and start right away. He may be second string. He may ride the
I think end. He wants to be closer to home, though, right,
if he
Bubba?
Wants to be close to home, he needs to bring his ass to Greenville and start for us next year. And then
that's why I think we got it.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm not going to – look, until somebody signs, I'm not counting any – I'm not counting any eggs before they hatch or anything. So, hey, guys, I got to change the subject here for one little quick second. I got some breaking news and press release here, if you guys will indulge me. This is just across the wire on CNN. Batman wants to inform everybody he does not smell.
Okay.
He does not smell.
Batman.
Despite rumors this time of year, particularly perpetrated by grade school children, he does not smell.
All right. Well, let's talk about something that actually smelled good last night. Was a win. The Pirates win a big basketball game against Campbell. You know, I know Coach Dooley will be playing the press conference in just a little bit, but the players, the demeanor of the players, I know Bubba, I took a picture. Bubba said, oh, my God, the last one, you know, you could just look at them and tell how defeated they were with Tyree Jackson and Jaden Gardner. This time, when you have Jaden Gardner and Brandon Suggs, both of them just I think the media, the room was even – like lighter. I mean, just everything was great, and I was really happy. It was a little sloppy, Bubba, there with trying to, as Dooley talked about, that soft press was just a bad decision making. And he made a point, and I wanted to touch on this with you guys with a basketball game. He made a great point that the guys are thinking, and that's a God's honest truth. I was thinking about how you're looking at on the court and you're going, these guys, there's no like rhythm or flow. They're not like, it's not like instinct. They're having to think before they pass instead of pass. And it's almost like they're scared they're going to make a mistake or something. And then they make a mistake. When you do that, then you're going to make a good chance you're going to make a mistake. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it was just, it kind of was like a hesitation there before they made a pass or things like that. And I just found that interesting that he brought that up in the press conference.
Yeah, I definitely noticed what you're talking about, and like Coach Dooley referenced in the press conference, in terms of their soft pressure, soft press, if you will, and that's what you could tell our guys. We're certainly not comfortable, and like Coach Dooley said, apparently we have some guys, some of our walk-ons, and guys that typically give the scout team look, and
right.
That's what. We hadn't gotten as good of a look, and it certainly showed. But I think we turned the ball over 19 times. So way too many turnovers, and that was the biggest thing that took away from that win.
Yeah, I actually have some real breaking news. This isn't a joke. Wofford just beat the Tar Heels 68-64.
Awesome. That's what I knew they were up by 11 with about 10 minutes to go.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice job.
That's two
carriers.
That's consecutive years now that Wofford has taken down North Carolina.
Wow.
We play North Carolina in basketball.
It was almost a really good night in terms of the so-called Big Four, as we like to say, the Little Four, losing because NC State was at UNCG. UNCG tied that game up at 77 with 2 seconds left, and State won on a half-court shot.
God.
Wow.
Yeah, so State won on a half-court shot. I think UNCG had beaten them last year, so that would have been
– two in a row.
That would have been really, really nice to see.
Well, they're playing at UNCG. I guess they feel like they have a home crowd there at the Coliseum. But why don't State come to Greenville again?
Yeah,
that's a good question. No, very good question.
You knew when that happened back in, I guess, what, 2008?
2007?
Yeah.
It was 07. It was the same
year. Yeah, the 07-08 season, that's what it was. It was right there.
Yeah.
It was around New Year's, but yeah.
It was right before Christmas because we beat – I want to say, if you put a gun
you're right,
in my head,
you're right.
I would say like December 16th, and then – and then, like 2 weeks later, a week and a half later, we won the Hawaii Bowl. It was fun. What a great time to be a Pirate. Miss those days.
Well, we're getting there. We're get there. We're climbing the ladder. And I was real happy. You know, one thing that Dooley said also, I know our buddy Mark Lindsay from Pirate Illustrated put it out in a tweet too. He'll talk about the press conference. But when he said about that, it's sad. But he said that it's more of a relief than joy to beat Campbell to get that win. Now 3-7, but I think it comes down to patience. 11 new guys, even though we, you know, they were hyped, it's still 11 new guys, 4 freshmen and 7 JUCOs and transfers and all. And I think that, like Kyle and I were talking about before we did the show, we've just got to win all the games, right, Kyle, before the conference plays.
Yeah, it'd be nice to win out and get 4 in a row, and that would include a nice win over Charlotte. So, we need some momentum. We need some positive momentum. We need the guys to believe. We need the fans to believe. And so take care of business. I want to mention one more thing here. Radio died today. I can't think of his real name, but the guy from South Carolina, the movie was based on.
Radio. Yeah, James Kennedy.
Yeah, he passed away today.
Yeah, I think he was 73, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. That movie is fantastic. Cuba Gooding Jr. does a great job in that movie. Oh, man.
Cuba Gooding Jr. is still alive. But
yes, he is.
The Real Radio passed away. And sad to hear it, but he did live to be an older man, 73. And not old, but older. 73, you consider that real, real old. Funny, it's not anymore. But RIP to him.
All right, you guys want to go to the
bidet? I had one more thing before we move on to that post game audio. Was Joe Dooley, okay. Jaden Garner, and Brandon Suggs. That's what just taking a look at things last night. And Dave, I know you were there, and I was able to watch all the game. And that's what I know. That's what we did an excellent job of getting the ball and getting it up the court. Outscored them 28-7 in fast break points.
Yeah,
and then also we just tremendous at the free throw line, 26 out of 29, and we didn't miss for the longest time. I know we made something like our first 16 or maybe even more than that. And then
you guys were.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Bubba. I was just going to chime in that it was funny because Jaden Gardner missed it, as he said in the. We have him and Brandon Suggs coming up, but he missed 2 out of the 3. And
yeah,
he's like the most consistent one.
Right, and he shot 16, though. And so Jaden Garner finished with 22.6 rebounds and 14 out of 16 from the free throw line. You had Brandon Suggs just continues to be so consistent as a true freshman, 16 points, 9 boards. Another true freshman had an excellent night, and that was Tristan Newton. Tristan had 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. And then you also had J.J. Miles, who was coming back, you know, from concussion protocol. So it was awesome to see him have probably what was his best game of the season. Came off the bench to score 12 points in 22 minutes and knocked down 2 out of 4 from 3.
Yeah, he had a huge shot in the second half there, Bubba. It was a big shot that he made.
Jumper from about the free throw line. Yeah.
Yeah, that was I was like, that's what I'm talking about. And I just got really fired up because they had times when we were talking about that soft press where they were very confused with it. That was the only thing for me that caused a lot of those turnovers we're talking about. And hopefully the hesitation will go away, or the thinking, because the chemistry – we've talked so much about this basketball team to do it. But as far as the overall game, I was really pleased that, you know, it seemed like that was the first game, guys, that for the most part, I won't say the whole game, but the most part, Kyle, they played some defense. And that was, there were some still letdowns there, but for the most part, you could see there was more effort there than we've had in this early non-conference schedule part of the basketball season.
Yeah, good to see the guys play hard on defense, and you can see that, man. That's just effort. Go play hard, get after it. Quit being pansy.
Put the leash back on.
Quit being pansy, and go play defense.
But and Dave. Another thing that jumped out about that game last night, you know, we led for essentially the entire ball game. We led for 36 plus minutes,
right.
And and we led by as many as 16. And like you kind of referenced a minute ago, you didn't speak specifically, but when J.J. Miles hit that shot, I think that was one of those times where Campbell, there were two or three occasions where they trimmed the lead down to five. And
right.
then we, whether it was J.J. Miles or someone else, would answer with a big bucket. And that was good to see that we didn't crumble when they made those runs.
Yeah, that's what I was going to – when Joe Dooley talks about – and the same thing you'd argue with Mike Houston and Cliff Godwin, that's what you call toughness. That's not something you can really teach. That's something that's coming from within. I mean, they can have their expectations, but you still have to play the game. And I felt like there was a mental toughness there that we haven't seen all season. I was happy. I'm not saying – I mean, I know it's Campbell, but they were 6-2. So it's not like they were 7 or 8 or whatever. They're a decent team, and they started to make some runs. And every time they made a run, it seemed like there was a big shot. We were making free throws. Just things were way better than Coppin State. Oh, my gosh. So I'll tell you what, guys, let's go ahead and go to the – we have first we'll do the players. We had Jaden Gardner and Brandon Suggs. And then we'll get Coach Dooley's thoughts, and then we'll come back and have more of the Sports Objective podcast. Let's go to Coach, I should say, let's go to the players right now.
Jaden, you talked a lot during this frustrating stretch about how tough it's been, but how good is it just to go down and win?
It's exciting. Yeah, you don't like being a winner, you're playing the wrong sport, playing any sport, really. So it's nice to get back in the W column tonight.
Jaden, what did you work on during the time from the last game that was a disappointing loss to now?
Just being more active, communicating with my teammates. We're pushing each other in practice. That's practice. We've been getting practice really, really established, and we've been doing a really good job at it, and we got good results tonight.
Brandon, you were really active out there tonight, 16-9, 7-7 from the line. Was that an emphasis for you coming into the game to try to provide energy in the post?
I just want to do everything that my team need to get the dub, so it was like, whatever they need me to do, I'm going to just do it. So I'm not really thinking about, like, certain stuff. I'm just doing my role.
26-29 from the stripe tonight.
I know. I missed two of those up. That's my fault.
Oh, well. But how big was that?
It's huge. We've been working on free throws every day as well. So Mike's the team locked in tonight. Everybody stepped up. I stepped up. Suggs stepped up. A lot of guys stepped up tonight for the free throw line.
Jaden, did you know you attempted 16 free throws until you got here?
I know I shot a lot. They were fouling a lot, so. Yeah, a lot of repetitions up there.
Defensive effort, too. I mean, I know y'all been working on that like crazy. Was it good to finally get that in the right direction?
Yeah, we had stretches. Coach said we had stretches when they couldn't score, so it was nice to see all that hard work paying off, and we're just trying to get better each and every day.
When you have a night like you guys had tonight where kind of everything clicked, do you feel like the pressure kind of alleviates just a little bit where you guys are like, all right, it works?
Yeah, I mean, hard work pays off, and it paid off tonight.
Brandon, what about –
good.
What about for you? Kind of like he said, when the losing streak obviously kind of builds, how nice is it to just stop that streak and maybe breathe a little bit now?
Yeah, it feels good because we had a good week of practice. So I feel like all the work we did in practice, it showed today.
Brandon, 10 games into your freshman year, you feel like you're starting to kind of get a feel for the flow of the college game?
Yeah, I'm getting like comfortable to the speed, so now I'm just hooping.
How was Coach in the locker room after the win?
You know, he point out the mistakes, but he was happy. It's nice to see a smile on his face. But back to work tomorrow and Monday, and then we're here again on Tuesday to face Maryland Eastern Shore. So we got to be ready to work.
So, go ahead, Jaden. Has to be good now that you have a win, and now you can focus after Thursday. You guys don't have to worry about exams. And now the next couple weeks, you don't have to worry about school. Just focus on
just focus on hooping, taking care of our bodies, and make sure we're eating right. So it's just nice to be able to lock in the stretch and get ready to play some basketball.
I thought we got off to a much better start, obviously, and I thought that our defensive recognition and attention to detail was better, which I thought got us off to a good start, with the exception, really, of a number of turnovers that we hadn't done this year, and But a lot of that's attributed to the way Campbell soft pressed us. I thought we did some good things offensively, except turning the ball, the amount of ways we turned it over. And we did a poor job of, I thought we had a good game plan against it, and we just sort of froze a little bit. We didn't attack as much, and we'll continue to work on that. I thought the young guys, I thought that Tristan and Brandon really gave us big efforts tonight, played really well and played with a lot of poise.
Yesterday you talked a lot about practice and how important that is. That said, is it important for this group to get a win on the floor, obviously?
First thing we talked about, the prep, the practice usually leads to some type of result, if it's bad practices. I've seen where you've practiced horribly and then played great, and I've seen it where you've practiced the exact opposite. And we had a good week of preparation. I said to the guys, we probably won five of the last six practices. We were good. We won the day. And, we talked about maybe let's try to stick with that. If we can win four out of five or five out of six, you're going to get better. And that's what we've talked about. Where can we be? We were a lot better than we were a week ago. Hopefully we can get better in another week.
You've had nights like this before, but you got to the stripe a boatload of times. Yep. And took good advantage of it. It's had to be a good lesson for your team.
Yeah, we did. I thought the guys, we moved the ball and we turned it our way too much. And I thought in the first half, after we did a nice job, and especially turning them over again on transition, then we went on a little, we turned over three straight possessions, and then at the end, which got them back in. And then at the end of the half, we took a couple bad shots. We the ball stuck and we took some bad shots. But besides that, I thought for the most part we tried to move the ball.
J.J. Miles stepped up.
He played really well. It was good. And he's been back in practice. But little things with him, he'll stretch the floor because people will guard him. He had two really good post moves. The pull-up was a big, big shot. It's good to have him back here. And I think he's another guy that he just needs some time to figure this out. And he wants to, and he works really hard.
For you, Coach, it's got to feel great on a personal level and get the win just to the system works.
Well, I'm not worried about that. The thing we need to do is we need to continue to get better and build this deal. And, I'd rather see the kids happy. I've been fortunate. I'd like to win. I'm more relieved than happy, which is sad. But, never take winning for granted. I told our guys a story. When I walked in the office, they had the North Dakota State. How many games have they won in a row with the football team? And they won ninth, and they were like, oh, it's a tough ninth. And the guy said, never take winning for granted. And I said, yep, he's exactly right.
Coach, it was good to see four of your players getting double figures tonight. Anytime you have four guys in double figures, you have a good chance to win.
Yeah, I thought that it was good. I thought Jaden, and Jaden did it on six shots. When you look at, I made a ton of free throws. But, I thought Brandon Suggs. Brandon hit a big three. The guy went under the ball screen. Brandon made a three from the top of the key. And I thought that Tristan, I think we saw some glimpses of what, as he gets bigger, as he gets stronger, and as he gets more confident, he played with much better pace today. When he was going up the court, you said that's what he looks like. And we're too slow right now because we're thinking, and we don't have any, we don't have any cohesion yet. Which, to their defense, we probably shouldn't have a lot. But I thought the ball moved a lot better tonight.
Didn't see him today on the bench. Is that just?
He's got some personal deals he's taking care of, and hopefully soon he can take care of those.
Just on earlier, if you look at the team's records, Campbell came in at 6-2 or whatever. Does that kind of show that on any day, obviously, you don't look into too much of that, obviously?
You don't. And they've had some good wins. They've won on the road. They've been the Georgia Southern team that they lost to is very good. They've lost to a really good Georgia Southern team. But, we'll look back and you always wonder, if you had everybody from, it's a tale of two seasons. You've seen teams that have started slowly and gotten better all year, and you've seen teams that start out great and sort of fizzle off at the end. So hopefully we can sort of keep building, and these young guys will figure some things out, and they need to. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Coach Dooley. Appreciate him and the players again, Jaden Gardner and Brandon Suggs. Hey, Bubba, I don't know if you mentioned when you were talking about the number of points, but as I mentioned the press conference here at the coach, it was nice to see four, not one or two, but four players in double figures. Most of the time when you have four players in double figures, you win the game, and we certainly did. I know that Coach was disappointed about the soft press, like we talked about. They didn't have enough players to really emulate the press, as he talked about, and I think that was – hopefully that's the reason for the the miscues, but maybe we'll see what it comes out with Tuesday night with Maryland Eastern Shore. I don't know their record. I haven't had a chance to research them yet,
I'm going to do that tomorrow. But have you had a chance, Bubba?
Yeah, the Maryland Eastern Shore is a game that we should certainly win. They've been nowhere near as competitive as Coppin State was coming in because, you know, Coppin, they didn't have a good record, but they had beaten James Madison in Harrisonburg by 16 points. So you knew there was certainly a reason to really be concerned, and I'm definitely not saying that we couldn't drop this game because we know better than to take anything for granted. But if we play well at all, then we should certainly take care of business on Tuesday night against Maryland Eastern Shore. They're 1-10, I think it is, and all but and that I think that one win was over a non-D1. And all but one of their losses came by double figures, and eight of those nine losses were by 20-plus points. So this is a game we got to take care of business and put it away and get some of those bigs playing time that they desperately need.
No question about it. You guys want to go to our next interview or to our interview?
Yeah, let's catch up with one of the best, or the best shot blocker in East Carolina basketball history, Moussa Badian. We had the opportunity to catch up with him from his home in France, and let's go to that interview right now.
Moussa.
Well, basketball season, very excited about East Carolina getting a big win on Saturday against Campbell. And Bubba, we've got a very special guest.
Yeah, very excited to have this guy on. Occasionally we'll have an international interview, and that is certainly the case today. This guy played for the Pirates back in the early 2000s on Bill Herrien's teams, live from France, on team to be exact. Moussa Badian, the Pirates' all-time shot block leader. Moussa, welcome into the show.
Welcome in, Moussa.
Thank you for having me. Hi, everybody.
We're excited.
I'm really happy to be there with you, and you know. Like you said, I'm live from France, but I'm always been close to you, to the Pirates, and I'm really happy to share this moment with you.
Good to have you on, because Joe Dooley coming back, I know that you didn't play for him, but I'm very excited by the program being energized.
I tell you, Moussa, I recall the first time I saw you play for the Pirates in that 2001-2002 season. It was over at UNCG, the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and I want to say you had something like eight or 10 points and, maybe five boards, but you also blocked five shots. I remember picking up the phone after that game and calling my dad and said, we found us a player. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know, when I came to the States, I was known as a shot blocker. And, I don't know. It's always been an instinct for me. My first year in ECU, it was my third year playing basketball, so I was still in the process of learning a lot of stuff, but you know, I always had something for blocking shots, and you know, everybody loved it at ECU, and I was really happy to get the crowd energized and give something to give to the supporters, so it was really fun.
No doubt about it. You certainly brought a much needed element to the game with the Pirates moving from the CAA into Conference USA, a very challenging conference. And so talk about your recruitment and how things, how you coming to East Carolina came to be.
I really wanted to come to the States, to the university, because like I said, I just started playing basketball, and I knew that if I came to the States, I would improve much faster because of the many coaches we have, because of the program, because I knew it was a good school where I could play right away, and I could improve with the great coaches we had, Coach Herrien, Coach Herrenda, that recruited me, and I didn't regret it, and I think if I didn't come to the States, maybe I wouldn't have a good career, or I wouldn't play that long at least. Because I really needed to come to a program like this. And it really helped me, and hopefully I gave some good memories too, because I think we shared some special moments. It was really a tough conference in the Conference USA. It was the first year in Conference USA, and we played against some really hard teams, some guys that went to the NBA, went to the pro. But we had some special moments, really. In Minji's, we played some games, and I felt some things that I never felt before and never felt after. And some people still talking to me about some of these games, and it was really, really great memories.
So one of the things I remember is that some of the games that back in that time, there were people supporting the program, and Williams Arena can be really loud if you have a winning product on the floor like you guys were at that time.
Yeah, of course. We didn't see it at first because there was not as many people that came to the gym at the beginning, but when we started the conference games and when we started to win some of the games and the crowd started to come, the atmosphere was so electric. It was crazy, really. When Minji's was packed and all the students were there and they were all loud and then there were some big games coming. The atmosphere was like any other arena in the States, really, because it's a small gym, but it can get really loud. And
now, Moose, so my question is going to be this. There's another question regarding your recruitment. You talked about Coach Bill Herrien and then obviously Coach, assistant coach Greg Herenda, who's gone on to have a nice, time as a head coach with Fairleigh Dickinson, I believe it is. But, Coach Herenda or Coach Herrien, like, talk about how that relationship got started. Where did that first contact occur, and how did the ball get rolling on your recruitment?
No, the thing is that I was playing in a club called Nancy in France, and I always talk about wanting to come to the States, but I didn't have any connection really. And the thing is that my brother was in the States already, and he visited already ECU. So I just asked my brother to see if I could I had the chance to go there, and I think ECU heard that. The thing you have to know is that my brother didn't come to ECU. He visited, but he came to Cleveland State. So ECU wanted a guy with the profile of my brother, so they heard that somebody was my brother, like my brother was in France. So they sent somebody, Coach Herenda, to see me, to watch me play in France. And I guess he liked what he saw. You know, I was raw, but I was athletic, and I think that's what he wanted for the program. And after one of my games in France, I talked to Coach Herenda, and I told him I wanted to go to the States, and I just signed. I just signed without knowing anything about America, and just took a chance, and I'm really glad I did.
As is Pirate Nation, no doubt about it.
I was going to say, you were one of the crowd favorites. I remember that very well during that time. And I was going to say, a lot of times when you hear boo, like you people have boo. Like, I remember that. And that's one of the things, your personality. And certainly as someone who loves the front court and block shots, it's something I love. And I think there was a lot of people that really knew that, how special you are, not only on the court, but your personality as you're showing right now to us on the internet.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you said, because the first game I was really worried, because I remember talking to my teammates about why they were booing me, and I didn't really understand. And when they explained to me what they were saying, you know, I was laughing. But to be honest, the first game I didn't understand why they did that.
yeah, that's funny. Over the years, and we've had guys in football with the name Luke, or a guy with the last name Cooper in football, and they kind of did the same thing. And I had friends with me at the game, or just pirate fans, excuse me, that really enjoy watching the games, but just didn't know as much about the players and their names and so forth. They're like, why are they booing? And I said, they're not. They're saying Coop, or in your case. It was funny.
No, that's really funny, but that's something that happened the first game, and he stick with me for 4 years. So it was really funny, because even when I went to a baseball game, I was walking to my seats and I heard Moose all the time, and that was really funny. And I really loved it, because you know, that's something that was really special. So that was really fun.
But Moose, so we talked about your knack for blocking shots. One of the things that really stood out to me when you blocked shots, there were those that went out of bounds, but you had a knack of blocking shots and keeping it in play where it could start a fast break for the offense. So that was something that was always impressive.
Yes, because when I block shots, I just don't do it just to have an impressive play. I do it to be effective and to launch a fast break. Because, you know, when I block a shot and I keep it inbound and he finish with a dunk, you know, he can turn around the game and he can launch a momentum. So, you know, I know it's hard to do, but anytime I can do it, I try to be more effective for my team and I know like a dunk, a block shot is really could be a really turning point sometimes, and it's spectacular. But it can get the crowd going, it can get the teammate going because it can give more energy. And sometimes we underestimate spectacular play because sometimes it could be a turning point. And I realized that and I tried to use it to my advantage and to my team's advantage.
And you most definitely did. I recall you talking about starting a fast break. At your size, 6'10", I just remember the way you could run the court, and when you would start one of those fast breaks, you would come right down the middle of the court, and then Derek Wiley or Belton Rivers or someone would give it up to you, and you would throw down a big dunk.
Yeah, but you know, I tried to use my advantages. You know, I'm not really heavy. I wasn't maybe the most skilled. But, you know, I try to use my quickness and my athletic abilities to my advantage. But, you know, that's what I did. And maybe I wish I could have been more heavier. But, you know, if I'm not heavy, I got to use my speed and my agility. So that's what I try to do.
And so when preparing for this interview, I actually saw that your record of 314 block shots. I was curious how that had held up in Conference USA over the years, and I saw that it stood until about 2010 when a player from Tulsa out in Oklahoma he had broken it and he had about 330 shot blocks, give or take.
You had 330?
Yes, the guy from Tulsa, his name escapes me, but he had about 330. Because I was curious if your mark still stood as the top mark or if it had been broken. And it ranked second because I remember, of course, when you were playing for the Pirates and you broke Kenyon Martin from Cincinnati's record.
Are you asking me if he's still?
No. I was saying that just preparing for the interview, we talked about. I was just throwing that number of 315 out there because I had not mentioned it up to this point. So I was just telling our listeners, especially those that were not around back when you were playing, just exactly how many block shots that you had. You were blocking essentially three a game.
It was three. I think in my career it was 343, I think.
Right.
In 4 years.
And it seems like I want to say you had a game against Old Dominion or someone where you blocked 10 shots. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, maybe, but, you know, when I blocked it, I don't realize how many I blocked, you know, because sometimes I feel like I blocked three or four and I look at the stat sheets, I got 8 or 9 or 10 and I'm always surprised, but, you know, it's something I was really, I never really learned how to do it, but I had this instinct. Since right. I started playing basketball, I had this instinct and for me, it was always defense first and try to protect the rim and protect my teammates. And when they get beat, try to help them. And I'm always been this teammate that try to help anybody, try to help my teammates. And that's something that I didn't learn. It was always in me. And this is something I could not really explain. So,
right. Talk a little bit about your career after East Carolina. Can you talk about your career? And we'll also ask you what you're up to now.
Excuse me? I didn't hear the last.
Career. We're going to talk about your pro career now and also what you're up to now.
What I'm up to now?
Yes. Right. After your time at East Carolina, can you talk a little bit about your I think you spent at least 7 or 8 years playing professional basketball in France. So talk a little bit about that, and then also what you're up to in life after basketball.
Yeah, right after ECU, I just stick around and try to see here if I had a shot to stay in the States. So I did a summer league with Dallas. And then after that, I went home to play professional in France, and I stayed there the whole time. I had a good career, I think, because I was a champion in France twice. I was MVP in the second league, and had the chance to meet some of my old teammates, because I played with Earl Bing. I don't know if you remember Earl Bing. Earl Bing.
Yes, we had Air on the show. I guess it was about this time a year ago.
I played against him a couple of times. I played with him, so it was great to see him. I saw Belton Rivers in France too. I saw Corey Rouse. So I met some of my old teammates, so it was really great to see them. And I stopped playing basketball a couple of years ago. Now I coach. It's hard to believe, but I didn't think I would coach one day, but now I'm coaching. I have two teams. So I coach one young team and one older team. So I'm really passionate about basketball. So it's really something that I love. And I own a store in Antibes, where I live in the south of France. And I work as an investment financial advisor. So I use my degree to get a good job, and you know, I'm well established now in the south of France and with my family. So I'm really happy about, you know, my career and what my basketball brought me today, because everything I have today is because of basketball and because of the diploma I had in the States, and I'm really grateful for that, really.
And something I want to follow up with. And this is kind of working in reverse. I wanted to ask you this earlier, but that's what you talk about, Errol being Gabriel Mikulas, who we're going to be talking to here in a couple days. Also, Derek Wiley, Belton Rivers, et cetera, that were on those teams. That's what we didn't have winning years in those 4 years you were with the Pirates, but we made a progress, and we were really, I guess it was junior year in 2003, 2004, really knocking on the door. We had an awful lot of close losses to the likes of Charlotte and Cincinnati. And we, I guess prior to that, we had beaten the likes of Marquette when they were ranked ninth and had Dwayne Wade, who of course everybody knows. So talk a little bit about, what that was like playing. I mean, I know you talked in general terms as far as playing the likes of Marquette and Louisville, but do you have a favorite memory, whether it was one of those Marquette wins, maybe Louisville, or what are some of your favorite memories of playing with the Pirates?
It was probably, I would say against Louisville and Marquette, but Louisville, it was the one of the best memories, because it was the first time I saw a crowd rushing the floor.
Right.
And it was something crazy for me. It was just to be one with the crowd. It was really insane, because in France, we never see that. And I didn't think it could be possible. So the first time they rushed the floor against Louisville was just insane. And against Marquette, it was even better, because they were ranked ninth against the Dwayne Wade's team, and it was just crazy. But I think these two games were, I think, the best memories.
Now, Musa, I want to see if you recall something this was the second time we had beaten Marquette, and Belton Rivers threw an alley-oop to Derek Wiley. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember, and I just watched the video a couple of months ago.
Man, I remember my seat was behind the basket that game, and I just remember when he threw it, I was like, is he going to be able to get to it? And he got to it without a problem.
Yeah, he really went so high that day, and we're still talking about it right now. Even today, we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
It was really, really fun.
Well, I would love to. I know that he's been generous with your time. Thank you so much for coming on, and definitely, hopefully, we can get you back to Greenville. Definitely, I know that you people here moose.
But yeah, I would love to come back to Greenville, and I'm still talking about it with some of my old teammates, and I would really love to do that trip, of course, and to meet you guys.
That would be awesome.
Absolutely. I know Pirate Nation's going to enjoy hearing from you, and all the best, continued success, and we look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you for having me. Really, really nice to chat with you.
Thank you very much, Musa. And internationally, he said he was going to share that with his family and friends. They're English-speaking, obviously. And so we appreciate Musa very much. His personality, guys, really came through there, and just really a nice treat to have him. And I know that every time we're talking about the big man, his name, or certainly him or Errol Bing will come up for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Kyle, I know we were talking earlier this afternoon off the air just how much fun it was to watch those guys play in the early 2000s. Errol Bing was just an absolute warrior on the boards, and I know we had him on the podcast, I guess it was probably about this time a year ago or something like that, and I remember games. It was nothing. He was very much like Jaden Gardner as far as hitting the boards, and maybe he didn't score as many points as Jaden, but he was very versatile as well, and had a little bit better outside shot than Jaden does. But Errol, I remember one game, and it was double overtime, but still, he had 24 rebounds, something like that, against USF, and so. Just an absolute warrior, like we said, on the glass, and would love to have another Errol Bing or Musa Body in the program. And we'll be catching up with some more of the international flavor from the Pirate Basketball's past here in a couple of days, as Gabriel Mikulas will be on the show.
All right. So look forward to it.
Yeah, he was one of the best, and another one from the Harian era. In fact, Harian really – they really did a good, nice job during that time. And I think that people need to, again, as Musa said in the very beginning of the interview, we just have to be patient. And really there's not a reason why we shouldn't be patient, because what is it, Bubba? The last 25 years we've had two winning seasons, something like that. So there's no reason – there shouldn't be high expectations.
People's patience ran out.
Right.
I mean, you've been patient for 25 years.
It's certainly like we've discussed ad nauseum, guys. It's Pirate basketball compared to, yes, Pirate football. We're used to having a lot more success, and so I guess it's in one sense it's easier to see why that patience would run out a little bit quicker than it would in basketball. But when basketball, yeah, when you've been as poor as we've been for so long, I mean. Guys, and kudos to Ryan Robinson and the administration for trying to do what they can to get butts in the seats and generate some revenue with concessions and so forth. But I mean, these last couple ball games.
Last night was
Coppin State. What we had against Coppin State, that's when we did a $3 ticket. And then last night, I know we had $10 tickets, but then a $5 concessions voucher.
Guys,
with that.
I'm on. Deep dive into that. You know what's going to fix basketball attendance?
Win.
Football.
Football.
When football starts winning again, people are in a better mood.
Yeah.
And they'll just come out and support the program just to be around ECU. Right now, you lose when you lose so much in football, and then you have some hype around basketball, and it's the same old crap. You're just like, I'm sick of it. You're just like, win
right.
Baseball.
Yep. And that's an excellent point, Kyle, because I think back to when Ricky Stokes was our coach.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I think this was Coach Stokes' first year.
That would have been I guess the 05-06 season, but we, yeah. I guess it was maybe the day that we beat UAB in football. We had a home basketball game with Walford, and it may not have been that UAB game, but it was when, like you said, things were looking up for football and there was some positive momentum. So that day with playing Walford, and Walford basketball then was certainly not what it is now in terms of being nationally relevant and making the tournament and so forth. In that game, we had probably a legit 5,500 to 6,000 in there right after a football game, just because people were in a good mood. They wanted to watch the Pirates play.
Yep, and you mentioned Walford, what they've become. You know, that worm started to turn down there. 08, 09, something like that. There was a kid from Kinston that went on to play in the NBA that played at Walford. That we didn't get at East Carolina, wasn't offered by the Pirates, and went on to be a star at Wofford, and their program's kind of been pretty good ever since.
And speaking of,
Bubba, do you know who I'm talking about?
I do not recall the player that you're referring to. I'll see if I can figure it out. But I was going to say Mike Young did such a remarkable job down there at Wofford. He's off to a heck of a start at Virginia Tech because the Hokies had lost a lot, and the Hokies are playing pretty good basketball.
Yeah.
No question about it. I'll tell you what, we'll keep, as you said, our next podcast will be, Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll have Nicholas on. I'll tell you, with the Maryland Eastern Shore, we have the game on Sunday with Charlotte, and we have three more non-conference games. It'll be interesting to see how we do. The conference games are going to be really tough this year. What a loaded conference. So got to finish strong for sure. We'll try to see if we can get Voice of, on here pretty soon, the Voice of the Pirates on. Maybe we get him on next week. We have the National Signing Day coming up. A lot of the good things happening right now if you're a Pirate.
Yeah, and one thing you mentioned about the conference play, you know, that made me think, Dave, about UConn and their basketball program. Not exactly lighting it up, but their football program really isn't lighting it up as they're leaving the American. And it kind of surprises us a little bit because they're not dropping to FCS, and they were able to put together so far a somewhat decent non-conference schedule for next year. They got to fill it out the rest of the way. But 22 players have announced they're leaving UConn's football program. 22 players. You imagine the headaches and horse shit Randy Essel's having to go through right now.
Yeah, and that's something we discussed also off the air yesterday, Kyle, and just talking about, you were asking me if I knew if junior running back Kevin Mensah, who's very talented, if he was one of those guys. And I do not know. I had not seen the list of the ones that are transferring.
Yeah, I hadn't either, but 22 players nonetheless. That's a nightmare. Good God Almighty, what a nightmare. I mean, their program was struggling as it is. Now they're going independent. They're losing 22 players to transfer, plus whatever they're graduating. So they're going to take a step back. You know, they were improving some this year. Now you got to figure they're going to take a step back to how they were 2 years ago, which was the worst defense in the history of college football, literally.
Yeah, and as bad as some of our defenses have been in recent years, and like they were even worse, and there's no doubt about it. Because I mean, you think about last year, our offense struggled quite a bit at times, and then against UConn, we ran for 300 and threw for 300, yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
And their defense actually took a big step forward this year. Their defense was still bad,
right?
But if you consider how bad it was year before, you know, last year, it took a big step forward this year. So
right, very much. I'll say Old Dominion was nowhere near as bad as UConn was last year, but they were still pretty poor, to say the least, on defense. And that kind of transitioned into something else I wanted to bring up. David Blackwell, I think last year that they had allowed maybe like 36, 37 points a ball game, and this year they allowed 29 points a game. So Coach Blackwell, especially considering how much stinking time they had to spend on the field with how poor their offense was, they had a much better year on the defensive side of the ball, and it was nice to see that a new coach, Ricky Ronnie,
retain Coach Blackwell.
Yeah, I think that was a smart move. And Coach Blackwell, you know, only had 1 year here. It would have been a shame to see him only having 1 year at ODU. So glad to see him retained. And, I don't know much about that guy. I haven't followed him. I believe he was at Penn State at the OC. I haven't followed his career. But I like a guy that, you know, comes in and doesn't have a lot of, you know, shows that maybe his ego's in check to keep the previous guys DC.
What also helps to the fact that he, with Blackwell, like you were talking about, not only, but he's a good recruiter. He keep him there and definitely keep some of the, hopefully you won't lose your recruiting class, right? You want to keep a couple guys to.
Yeah, that, and that can definitely help with that too. Yeah, I mean, you got signing day coming up. So, that's a good point, Dave. You maybe keep some of the recruiting class together.
We'll definitely have our special National Signing Day podcast and maybe a podcast in between. We'll thank Musa for being on with us. That was fantastic. Love catching up with him. And, gentlemen, I'm looking forward to Wednesday. It's one of the biggest days. It should be a national holiday for National Signing Day. We're at their big event. It's on Wednesday, folks, and that'll be at the Murphy Center. Right, Bubba?
Right. And Dave, I did have something I wanted to add. Okay. Our good friend of the podcast, former Pirate tight end, Jay Sonhalter, who does an excellent job now with ESPN3, ESPN Plus, and I'm calling ball games, both football and basketball. He's going to be in Greenville back-to-back days this week. He's going to be there Tuesday night for the Maryland Eastern Shore game. So we'll get to hear Jay on the call. At least Kyle and I will. And then on Wednesday, he'll be back for the signing day event at the Murphy
Center. Basketball. That's the problem.
Yep. It's and this weekend he actually called a couple of state championship games. He did the Southern Nash game, I know, and then one other game. So we'll have a variety of topics to talk about with Jay, talking Pirate football recruiting, and then also Pirate basketball against Maryland Eastern Shore.
Yeah, he played four sports in high school, so he's familiar with. football is what he's most known for, but he did play four sports there in Raleigh, right, Bubba?
Yeah, and he did. Like you said, I remember we kidded him about that last year, about him being a four sports star, and he said, I don't know about star. And he said, but I played four sports. Dave, do you have anything else before we wrap things up?
No, guys. I appreciate it very much. Appreciate all Pirate fans. Let's have some fun this week. And just think about how great things are with the future of the basketball program. I think that's going to look good. Two games this week there. Good luck to the women tomorrow. And they've got a big home game, right, Bubba, tomorrow night?
Yeah, they'll be playing Howard at Williams Arena tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So you can follow that one on ecupirates.com.
All right, sounds good. That's what I'll be doing. All right, guys, for Musa, for Kyle from LaGrange, and Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.